Blog Talk Radio.
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist programs. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that.
Everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots, broadcasting live from our homes. I'm in Brenda Ward from Indiana, and I have Dolly Cotter on the line from Iowa. And tonight we're just going to kind of talk some of the things happening in world events and nation events. And I just kind of want to start off with, you know, here's the United Nations trying to place sanctions on Syria for killing women and children and contemplating arming the rebels. And we have Russia sending attack helicopters to the Assad regime. Now, what kind of, this is what we have to look forward to if we continue down the same path as what this current administration and their foreign policy is, which is to leave it up to everybody else to decide and not take the lead. And we already know from what Russia did and Chechnya of what they're capable of, and apparently they're not with the rest of the world on trying to obtain to restrain the regime's killing of innocent women and children in order to retain their power. But it's just very, very frustrating, because this is why the United States has to stand firm, not only in their military might, but also in our independence from the world organizations, or we're going to end up with countries like Russia and China working against the rest of the world. So with that, I'll bring on Billy. Hey, Billy. How are you tonight?
Hey, Brenda. How's everything else going in the world today?
Oh, well, everything's going pretty good at home. I think we've decided we're going to get us a swimming pool because it's been so hot here in the Midwest. We put it off for like 3 years after our other one died, but I don't know. It's been really, 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 this 90-degree stuff is kind of swayed us. I think we're going out tomorrow and getting a new pool. So,
you know, I have to admit, it's been pretty pleasant here in Iowa. I haven't had to use the air but twice.
Oh, really? Oh, my.
Yeah.
We've, We've had multiple 90s here.
Well, see, we have the perfect positioning for a breeze.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like I open the windows and the breeze just hits in the house perfectly. So I usually open my windows at night, close them during the day if it's going to be hot the next day.
Uh-huh.
But
I think our air has been on since probably April.
Wow.
It got hot early and it stayed hot. Now, not every night, but, you know, there were a couple 80, 90-degree days, and we have a tray level, so upstairs it gets really, really hot and humid. And so, you know, ours has been on for a while, I will admit.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, and then I've been out driving with my son. He's working, he's 17, working on getting his license. So, he just got home about 10 minutes ago. So it's like, okay, I survived. So,
and the stuff that's going on in Syria is ridiculous.
Isn't it?
I
mean, how can the UN be effective when Russia is just basically countermanding everything the United Nations is calling for, you know, the sanctions and everything. And Russia's been in there arming the regime.
Yeah, all along.
And that should not surprise anybody because they stood against the invasion in Iraq, they with China and France, and they stood against the invasion of Libya, and they, you know, have invaded their neighbors, killing women and children and innocents. And so it's really not surprising, but this should be a wake-up call to these people, especially that are calling for us to pull our troops back and just let the world go on about its business, because... that's not really a good thing.
Yeah.
Because then you have the superpowers like Russia.
You know, I'm sorry, but there is one thing, and I'm not, you know, I don't know if I should even apologize for it, but I do not love war, or I am not a warmonger.
But
I think war is a necessity to basically exuberate power and to also dispel some, you know, dictatorships out there, some that inhumane practices like what's going on in Syria. There are calls for sending people in, not only to arm people, but to take out the bad guys at the same time. You know, that's if someone's attacking you in your home, and you call the cops. The cops come in, and they basically kill the guy. If they, you know, they have the right to come in and shoot the guy if you're hiding from him and everything, you know. And I see that in Syria, they're calling for us to help. Syria's been asking for us to get in there and do something. But, you know, at the same time, they're saying, oh, well, it's the bad guys that are attacking the, you know, the main government of Syria, which, you know, it's the people we're attacking in Afghanistan that are asking us to help, you know?
Right.
And the thing is, even so, if, you know, a guy robbed one person one day and the next day he's getting robbed, the cops still aren't required to go help, you know?
Right. You don't look at their past record and whether or not you're going to help them. And here's the thing.
You're looking at protecting lives.
Yeah. Supposedly our policy was, you know, to, I don't know what our policy was for Libya, but it was basically the same thing, the people rising up against the dictator. And we didn't know
who the
rebels were.
Well, no, the thing that really was funny about Libya is it was a threat. Gaddafi threatened that he would go in if these people didn't shut up about taking over his country, you know? But people, even though they didn't shut up, he never went in and killed anyone. He never actually did it. And Obama acted on his threat that he was going to do it. And that's the part that really got me about Libya, because nobody died until the rebels started fighting first, and we were helping them.
Yeah, and it's like, well, and with Syria, we know they're being killed, but, you know, it's such a delicate situation. We got to follow. See, but this is Obama's policy, and he didn't go into Libya with the United States leading the way. He went into Libya behind the United, hiding behind the United Nations and NATO. And see, that's why he won't act. He doesn't have the guts to make the decision.
Well, no, he doesn't
have
the guts to really make any good calls because his policy is to kill people. You know, it's, you know, send in a drone, let the drone do all the work. And if anybody's on the enemy's list, kill them. You know, don't try capturing them. Don't try doing any
getting
hard
intelligence
work.
Or doing anything that might actually benefit us in the future. Just go in there and kill them with a plane. Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of crazy. So, and then we turn around and we have here we have the Justice Department on Tuesday sued Florida to block its efforts to purge its voter rolls of non-U.S. citizens and to stop further attempts before the November election. And what is that? Okay, if you're not a citizen of the United States, you have no right to vote in this country. You know? What is it that people don't see about that? That is just wrong. It's unconstitutional. It's un-American. It's unpatriotic. And it's just another one of his failed policies. Actually, it is his policy to
Well, no, what it does more than anything is a vote of an illegal alien or an illegal immigrant or, you know, whatever, undocumented and unafraid out there.
Mm-hmm.
The illegal votes cost a legitimate vote. Each one of them means that a legitimate vote didn't get cast.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it looks here like Florida has sued the Department of Homeland Security, claiming the federal government is denying the state access to a database that would allow it to verify the citizenship of registered voters. And that is just so un-American. It's like they're trying to maintain the integrity of our elections, you know, that we're guaranteed, you know, citizens of the United States to vote on the security and the future of the United States. And here the government is trying to impede that. That along with his foreign policy are two things that are just kind of flabbergasting, among other things. We could go next into
Interesting about this guy.
The green energy policy that has cost us trillions of dollars to taxpayers and failed in every aspect that he promoted. That's, you know, in the name of Solyndra and other green companies and in the Chevy, even in the General Motors and the Chevy Volt. What did that cost all of us as taxpayers to make that car? I don't know. But it's just very, very, very frustrating that that's all going on.
Yeah.
And there's still people that are going to vote for him. It's like, what? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Would you like to? Well, I think he's a nice man. And it's like, yeah, okay. We'll go with that one.
But, well, you know, I have to say on Thursday, on my Nobomination, I have a guy coming on. And I hope you'll join because it's going to be an interesting discussion of communism.
Okay.
His name is Kyle Becker. He writes, he's actually from Russia, or he's, I don't know if he's from Russia. He is of Russian descent, I know that. But he will be coming on and discussing communism and the impact of what's going on today. And basically kind of like how today's liberals are yesterday's communists.
Okay. Yeah, they are. I mean, you can go down word for word and look at, you know, what the communists were trying to achieve back then. And it's everything that the Democrats stand for. I mean, it's all there. It's a list. It's in plain view, writing in the congressional record for anybody to see. And yet there's so many people that don't even know this. Or if you tell them this, well, so, you know, that's why is that a bad thing? You know, it's like they don't understand the ramifications. And one of those ramifications is what we're seeing going on in Syria with Russia arming the regime when the whole rest of the world is putting sanctions on Syria. Russia's giving them arms, you know, and egging them on. And in the killing of innocent people, which is so wrong. It's just so wrong. But But, yeah, anyway, so I'm just, you know, that was when I heard that today, I was just like going, you've got to be kidding me. And what is the UN going to do with Russia? Because Russia is basically going counter to what the United Nations is saying, you know, with the Assad regime, because they're wanting him to step down and everything. So this is in clear contradiction with what the United Nations has said, not that we live by the United Nations, but supposedly this is what everybody, you know, wants.
Well, nobody, I hope nobody forgets what Obama said to Russia not long ago about waiting until after the election so he can be more flexible.
Right.
Because that's very, it's kind of like a key to how you know.
Well, it speaks to what
he's
about.
And let them do whatever.
Yes. And that speaks about, because he wants to give them missile defense, and the only reason they don't have it right now is because Congress has said, no, you're not going to do that. But, you know, there's a word for those terms. And this the leaks coming out of the White House on this intelligence, like with this virus and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's traitorous. And whoever's been doing it, you know, needs to be taken out and shot. And they say they can, you know, everything claims that it's coming out of the White House and or within the administration. And I certainly wouldn't doubt it, you know, because he certainly has not.
Most people are pointing their fingers at Tom Donilon.
Who's this?
Tom Donilon, the security advisor.
Really?
Yep.
They have any proof yet or they're just saying?
I don't know if you know who Pat Caudill is.
No, I don't.
Oh, Pat Caudill, he's like a Fox News person. Mm-hmm. But Tom Donilon is basically known as a big mouth. And even Bob Gates, when he was there, he's like, hey, I got a new communication strategy for you. Shut the F up because you're talking too much.
Oh.
So there's a lot of things out there that are pointing to Donilon.
Well, they just need to get whoever it is because, you know, leaking things like, you know, we did this virus in Iran and stuff like that, that's just, you know, that is so counterproductive for the United States, you know, and everything. And then Obama saying, oh, nobody in my administration would do that. You know, how do you know that? Instead of being outraged that this is happening, he's trying to obstruct the efforts to look into how it's happening, you know. And it's the same thing with Fast and Furious. In fact, you know, the next thing up, I think, is they're going to hold her, hopefully, in contempt because he lied about Fast and Furious. Well, good. We knew he was lying. I mean, who didn't know he was lying? Here, this says Clinton accuses Russia. Yeah, Obama probably would. Clinton accuses Russia of arming Syria with attack helicopters.
Right, that's Hillary Clinton.
Okay, so actually that's part
Both
of the...
Both Clintons have been in the news a lot about different things.
Yes, another interesting thing, you know, what is Bill Clinton actually trying to do? I hope he is trying to do it because it would prove that he actually is pro-America, you know?
I've always thought the Clintons were very much pro-America.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, you know, Obama... that I had any doubts about Hillary at all, but it wasn't that she was not American or that she was not pro-America, I should say.
Right.
That she was...
More kind of like misguided, you know, but not, you know...
Yeah, that she was just, you know, I don't know, catering just to have a job in the White House, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
And I actually think Bill Clinton right now has a, I don't want to call it a chip or an axe to grind or what, but he's doing more damage than good for Obama, if you ask me.
Well, that's okay with me. I mean, we'll take any help we can get.
It's perfectly okay, but
because it's not. It's about this country, you know. And I know there's got to be some Democrats out there that see that, you know. But without
there's a lot out there.
Without coming right out and condemning the party, you know, what are they going to do about it? Without, you know, coming right out and attacking the president's. You know, they're kind of maybe in this, but, you know, Clinton doing it the way he's doing it is, you know, you can't really say he's doing it, but I don't know. It's going to be an interesting election cycle, to say the least, but, you know, how the president even maintains a 49% approval rating. I'm looking at this poll here. It's like, what? No way. It's like, really, that many people? But, the trillions and trillions of dollars in debt and the mess overseas, it's a mess overseas. And how can anybody watching the news, what is it, Spain now that is broke, bankrupt, you know?
Yeah, well, pretty much the pigs. They're looking at the pigs. Portugal, Italy. Italy and Ireland and Greece and Spain. They're all really in dire straits.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that, they're pigs. They take a lot out of, you know, they need a lot from the Eurozone, basically, to help their governments because they have so much, they're giving out, you know.
Because their government is too big, is what they said. Mm-hmm. And then Greece, they don't see that cutting back any. You know, most of the workers are employed by the government. Well, when that happens,
right.
When that happens, you can't survive. And yet that's what they're pushing for. That's what it's about. Well, Obama pushes for here in the United States. And it's like, wake up, people. It doesn't work. At some point, the money
runs
out.
That's the opposite of what does work.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Free trade. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get rid of the regulations. Let's get these... get our people back, you know, creating jobs and get the government out of life and get rid of the entitlements for, you know, we shouldn't be paying people to have babies. We just shouldn't do that. You know, that's not productive. It's not productive to the society as a whole. It's not good for the people receiving it. It's a vicious cycle. It needs to go away. There's so much that just needs to happen, you know, to get us back on track and get us out of this mess that they're in, you know.
I came across some really interesting stuff today. And it was talking about how black households in particular have increased in homeschooling and have chosen not to go with public schooling for their children lately.
Well, good for them.
There's been a lot. Huh?
Well, yeah. And then, you know, you also read, yeah, that's good. Because, you know, that started back in the 80s.
That is perfect for society and for their culture.
Right.
You know, it's going to not indoctrinate them into this whole government needs to grow mindset.
Right. And you see, I think you see more and more black Americans dropping out because the economy has affected the poor just as much as it has the middle class. You know, and in fact, they're saying America's wealth has dropped 40% since 2009.
Oh, and believe me, you know what? The black community in particular, I will tell you straight out, there are many more white people in poverty than there are blacks because they do have, they may have been listening to the liberal left on certain things. The one thing they do not try to pay attention to is this working doesn't pay philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
They are very hard workers. They are very out there. They want to make their own life. They want to make their own livelihood. And today we're finding out also from the Fed that the American household has dropped 40%.
Right.
You know, what the median income, I guess, of $129,000 back in, what was it, 2007? Yeah, 2007, they said, was $129,000. is now today 77,000.
Which is just insane. And supposedly they were going to help the middle class. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's really working out well, you know. And this
well,
is
see,
what
and another thing they don't realize is this does not go back only to Bush. It goes all the way back to what Clinton did, because Clinton kind of did a lot of the same things in the illusionary economy. You know, mm-hmm. when Reagan was in, Reagan created a real growing economy. That was Reaganomics. And people were saying, wow, this is really working. We didn't think it would, but it did. And what it did was it got people who were now getting bills that they had to pay that they weren't going to be able to give to the government to pay. They were getting off their duff, and they were going and getting a job.
Right.
And then they were now contributing to the income taxes, but their taxes were lower than they would have been under Carter. Then what happens? President Clinton comes in after George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised taxes, and he raised taxes, and he raised taxes. And it disenfranchised the people to want to vote. Or, I mean, not to vote, but to work. And people were saying, why should I have a job when half of my paycheck goes to the government?
Yeah. You know?
So that really, in and of itself, is why the left will never see higher taxes is, you know, a bad thing. They think all we have to do is give the government more money and take more from the wealthy, and that'll be a good thing. It'll work perfectly under that system.
Right.
But it won't. It never will. It only creates an illusion that it's working. It's not a real economy. It's a fake economy, especially when you're introducing stimulus into the economy the way that Obama did. When George Bush sent us stimulus checks, we each got, what, $600?
Yeah, something
you know,
like that.
That was George Bush. We were able to spend that into the economy ourselves.
Right.
What did Barack Obama do? He got $780 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave it to each community. And what did they do? Hire one or two people?
Yeah.
And he was giving them, I mean, what was it? Bell, California. If you look up Bell, California, you'll see that they hired, what, six people, and they got $111 million.
Right.
That
so where's
was
the rest
ridiculous.
Of it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the rest of it?
It's like, and it's not the government's money in the first place. This is what everybody needs. You know, they keep saying, oh, they got all, they need it, I need the government. And what they don't realize is that's not the government's money. It's the people's money. And we the people, are responsible for this debt. We, the people, paid that $780 billion or whatever that is. We, the people, lost 500, was it million or billion? What's the letter? I don't know. I don't remember now. But, you know, we, the people, lost that money. We, the people, bought GM at a loss because we're not getting our money back from GM.
And we didn't buy GM. We didn't.
No, but
you know,
the stock
we did
or whatever
we
they
funded.
Put money. Yeah.
We funded the pensions of the people they were going to lay off.
Right. So
that's
we,
why you won't
are stuck with their bill.
Right.
Because
if
they,
you
they
look at
bad
it
business.
From Obama's point of view, Obama sits here and he comes out with these ads about Romney, and he's got all these poor innocents who lost their jobs under Bain Capital. And they're saying, well, we lost our jobs, you know. Go to the GM people and let them tell you about how they lost their jobs. Yeah, we're sitting high on the hog. We got a big old pension from you taxpayers. We're not, you know, we didn't lose anything at all. That's
well,
not
no.
productive.
That's
counterproductive.
And now
because
GM
that's just,
is still having money troubles because they didn't try to save themselves by breaking up.
No, because what did they do after that? They increased their pensions.
Yeah.
They have made it so that, yeah, it's a great place to work if they've got the money to do it. But they can't. They just can't because, first of all, new cars are not selling. The green car idea is totally a flop.
Right.
There's no reason to make any more cars because they're all still on the showrooms. I mean, nobody's buying the GM cars.
No. But there's
nobody
you can't
wants
buy,
to.
When your income of the middle class, you know that you get a 40% decrease because that is your middle class. You know, 120,000, 70,000. That's middle class. But, you know, you're not going to be out there buying that $25,000 car or that $50,000 truck.
I absolutely respect Ford for not buying into that whole thing.
Yeah.
And not taking money in that bailout.
Yeah, and they're doing fine.
And they never, ever weren't.
Yes, because they actually did it the right way, which is to get your house in order and don't be expecting us to bail you out when you have
trouble. Well, their house was never out of order. That's just it. That's where, you know, people got to look at people like Walmart or places like Walmart, like Ford, like, you know, a lot of big industries as examples to live by. And people, you know, like unions are saying, oh, Walmart has such a low wage and low Walmart this. Guess what? They can fund their employees' pensions, though.
Yes.
They can fund them.
And
why?
I tell you
because
what,
they actually have consumption going on.
And they actually offer products to people at a reasonable price where, you know, because,
right.
Look, your income's dropping. I could, you know, Walmart, yeah, the price has gone up slightly in the last few years because of gasoline and different reasons, but, you know, I can afford it.
Yes, but everybody has. It's
yes.
Not just Walmart, though.
Right.
That's everybody.
But
they're just
provide,
following the trend.
And they provide the product at a cheaper price. And maybe they have the power to negotiate because they stock more product, but, you know, that's business.
Yes.
It's business. And this is what people don't understand because it's all about, well, they got all this and they're doing this and they're... Well, you know what? These people worked to get to where they are. You know, Sam Walton and whatever, he worked to make this business what it is. You know? No,
oh, yeah.
They don't owe you anything. You don't want to work for them, don't work for them. But, you know...
But don't try getting the unions to get in there and force
right.
them to pay more.
Right, and try to shut them down, you know, and make a big deal out of what they're doing. It's like, this is ridiculous, you know? You can't have it both ways. And I see people wanting
And I have to admit, there's one thing about Walmart I personally don't like is the fact that they have a lot of stuff made in China. Yet at the same time, their stuff made in China doesn't cost people who buy it as much, you know? So the people who are willing to actually buy something like a new TV or you know, a computer that's been made in China because they can afford it
right.
at Walmart.
It's cheaper.
But they can't necessarily afford it, you know, at these other, you know, other places.
Right. Right. And that and like a Mac, you know, a Mac computer, I'm not going to pay that for a Mac, you know, for an Apple computer when I can go buy a
cheap version. Oh, it's not that. It's not that expensive.
For, you know, for like $300-$400 you can get a cheap laptop and it'll be out of date in another month anyway. So why would you want to go pay $1,500 or something for a Mac when you can get, you know, for under $700, definitely you can get an equivalent. But it's business. It's business and it's called managing your budget, which is what people do that the government doesn't seem to understand. You know, it's like, we have this much to spend. You know, why am I going to spend that much when I can get basically the same thing for this much? And
mm-hmm.
There's just not a lot of things made. I mean, there's things made in the United States, but
and do you want to know the funniest part about Walmart?
What's
the
that?
Funniest part about Walmart is they make pennies on every purchase. They don't have like a 33% markup. They have like a 2 or 3% markup.
Mm-hmm.
But they have so much business, they're making money.
Well, yeah, because you can make money, you know, if you practice good business and you don't have to make as much on the product, you know, whereas if you price your product way up here expecting to make that 100% markup, you're not going to sell as many. So, you know, if you sell more, you're going to still make a profit and probably a pretty good profit. Plus, you're going to keep your business coming because they're going to keep coming back for that product. But I don't know. So it's like, I don't know. It's
yeah.
Economics. But
you know, it's really weird.
Do?
I cannot open chat.
I can't open it either. So
that is
I don't,
so weird.
I don't know what's going on. with that.
It's like grayed out. I couldn't even promote the show.
Yeah, see, I can't get it open either. It's like mine's just going around in a circle going 123 flash chat or something ridiculous like that. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. But if anybody's listening out there, you could certainly call in 718-305-7176. In order to make it work, I'd probably have to log out and log back in. So I'm just not going to bother with that at the moment. So, we're just kind of talking about some of the world and daily events going on in the world today and how they don't make any sense. It's like crazy. And I wish people would just open their eyes and kind of pay attention. You know, look at Spain, you know, look at Greece, look up Europe, look at, you know, all these places are going to have problems, and it's going to be one right after another. And eventually it's going to end up back to the United States. And we're broke, people. We don't have money. We have a $15 trillion debt, okay? The government doesn't have any money. They're printing money, and they borrowed money from China. You know, we don't have money. So we have to make cuts, and we have to tighten our belts, and we have to live on our means, and we've got to cut. We can't just be giving money away to people who have, oh, they're disabled because they're an alcoholic. No, sorry. No, you don't get my taxpayer money because you're an alcoholic, okay? Quit drinking and get a job. And, I know it's not easy, but it can be done. And it's never going to be done if you keep giving them money, you know, for it. And, you know, we got to cut entitlements. Let's cut it to the druggies and the alcoholics. And the people, and not the elderly, you know, not those who paid into Social Security, but to these people who were just handing out freebies to, you know, oh, let's have another baby. We'll give you some more money for that child. No. That's not how that works. You know, it's like, all you're doing there is promoting reliance on the government, which has been kind of a goal of this administration, I think, is to promote government reliance, because through the government reliance, then they move into the next phase of the government takeover, and which we're not, you know, I think people are starting to buck the system a little bit, even in D.C., where they're starting to call Eric Holder to hand, and it's just not happening fast enough, as far as I'm concerned. You know, this
well, next
going
week
on.
They're having the contempt hearing in the House. And
oh, yeah.
Today, I guess they had a hearing with Holder in the Senate. But, I mean, I have a feeling that even if they do it in the House, they're not going to do it in the Senate. It's just Terry Reid's little norm.
Oh, I know, but this is where we need the Republican senators to step up and say, no, you know, and even, I know there's got to be some Democrats in the Senate that don't agree with what's going on. They got to be there. Surely there's some.
Well, especially those who want to keep their jobs in November.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, this bit about, you know, not just this Fast and Furious, but suing the states, you know. That's not
Florida, that's just ridiculous because,
yeah,
you know, right now, I don't know if anybody knows about this, but there's this, and I wish I had my chat room open. I was going to put a link in there. If you go on Twitter and you look up hashtag undocumented and unafraid, although, you know, everything, you'll find videos about this hunger strike that's been going on for 5 days now.
Oh, really?
And they're calling on President Obama to issue an executive order making them citizens.
Oh, yeah. Let's try that one. You got to be kidding
and,
me. It's like, when do
no,
you go back
not.
To Mexico? And we're in Puerto
huh?
Rico or wherever
yeah.
you're from. You know, go back. Get out. Just go home. You know, like, any other
and
kind
they,
of
I have
way
to
would
warn
be.
You. I have to warn you, it is rather powerfully emotional, the way they talk about how they were brought here, how they talk about how, and it's mainly students, how they were on, on the list, and then after this one girl graduated, they deported her anyway. And so there's a lot of emotion in this thing. The thing that you gotta realize, though, is there's ways around. The only way around, I should say, is to get in line, stay in line, and get yourselves to become citizens the old-fashioned way. Don't think that you should have taxpayers funding your kids' school, funding your children's welfare, funding your, you know, your paychecks, because you're obviously here working a job that an American could be working. And don't give me this about how Americans do not want to do the, you know, labor in the fields or anything like that, or gardening.
Right.
Or I do my own gardening. I would never hire anybody to do my gardening because I'm too much of a perfectionist about it. I would sit here and be over their shoulder every day anyway.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, there's just, you know, give me a break. Don't ever say that there's a job out there that any American would not take. As long as you're paying them and they'll have a steady paycheck, they'll take it.
Yeah, and this is another thing you kind of need to watch that the liberals will do. It's always about the emotion. There's never the logic behind it. The logic behind it is that we cannot support these illegal immigrants. The logic behind it is that when they came here, somebody was illegal, and they should not be here. Yeah, maybe you grew up here, but you didn't come legally. Your parents have to hold, you have to be responsible for that. And if you have to pay for that, you know, that's not my problem. And I mean, that may sound harsh, but we're at the brink of being a Greece and a Spain here in the United States, you know, and we can't. The only way to stop that is to make the harsh decisions that have to be made. And you have to look at it logically. First of all, if you commit a crime, you don't get rewarded. Period.
Right.
End of discussion. You
and
know,
see, that's
I think
like
even
the whole thing with Reagan. When Reagan did the amnesty back in the 80s, it was with the ideology, the idea, the, you know, basically the promise that the border would become sealed, that
yes.
it would be impenetrable. But
yes.
it has never been since.
Right.
Nobody's ever even been close.
They haven't even tried to seal it, you know, and then when they start suing states like Arizona, who's trying to protect themselves, which is in the Constitution. The states are allowed to protect themselves from invasion, okay?
Yeah.
The government sued them. Okay, so the federal government, Eric Holder, Obama's Justice Department, sued the state of Arizona for doing what was their constitutional right to defend themselves against invasion.
Right.
And yet, you know, people don't want to use terms like invasion and illegal. I'm sorry. Tell the truth. That is the truth. You know, they are invading
us illegally. Well, you know,
I'm
not saying that an illegal immigrant here is an illegal person, like they're irrelevant as a human being.
No,
that's what they're
not
trying to say when they say,
no,
don't say the I word. It offends them because it makes them feel insignificant. But that's not true. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, get the hell out of our country so you can stop sucking up all of our tax dollars.
Right. Right. And you can use the emotional arguments, but the emotional arguments have always been used. They used it with Roe versus Wade.
I have become so insensitivized. I'm not even sensitive to what they have to say anymore. My sister, she continually says, "What about the little 7-year-old girl in the middle of the water on an inner tube while her parents are pulling her into shore and she drowns?" Okay, well, her parents put her there. It's her parents' fault.
Right, exactly. It comes down to, again, and this word we've used on our show multiple times, responsibility. Responsibility for your actions, you know. If you or I took our children into another country, we would suffer the consequences for that illegally. You know what I'm saying? Most countries won't let you go in illegally.
Exactly. Most
and
of
live
them
there.
Would. Look what they did to the 3 hikers in Iran.
Yes.
Just for being across the border without permission.
For straying across the border, you know, slightly, you know.
Yeah. Come on,
so they
imprisoned
say,
them for how long?
Right. Right. And it's
give
like,
me a break.
Yeah. But here our president and his Justice Department is trying to encourage them to come over here and actually vote in our elections. And it's like,
oh, yeah,
no,
and that's why,
no.
That's what
you
they're
know,
encouraging them to do.
Women had to fight. American citizens, women had to fight for hundreds of years to get the right to vote here in this country. Don't be giving it to illegal aliens. That is immigrants. Sorry. I used to call them aliens when my grandmother was.
Yeah.
Came to this country, you know, and you know, I've talked about, you know, I am a second generation immigrant on my mother's
I
side.
Don't
so,
mind
you know, I have
saying undocumented.
Against. Yeah,
I really don't mind saying undocumented because that is just as illegal. I mean,
yeah.
How many people actually can get out there and drive without a driver's license? We need documentation. We American citizens are required to have that documentation. Why the hell aren't they?
Right. Exactly. I got to take in five IDs with me when I go to the license bureau because that's their newest thing here in Indiana. We had to take in five things just to get my son's his permit. You know, and one had to be picture and one had to be like 6 months at the same address. I mean, crazy stuff. You know, you had to take all this
right.
in, birth certificate, social security number, just to get a driver's license. You
yeah,
know,
see here in Iowa, it's just if you don't have a license already,
right?
You just have to go in and make sure you have a piece of mail with your name on it at the current address you want on your license for at least 30 days ago. From at least 30 days ago.
Uh huh.
And then you have to have your birth certificate, your social security card, and if you're like 15 or getting, you know. Your permit like that, you
mm-hmm.
need your parent with you, and their documentation needs to, you know, meaning
right.
their driver's license, needs to verify that you live at the same address and all this other stuff, and then a signature from that parent.
Yeah, and well, this is what's crazy. We took in, my daughter had a passport card, okay, because we go to Canada, so we had to get passport
uh-huh.
cards because they demanded that we have those when
right.
we travel back and forth, okay. She took that into the license branch and only had four pieces of identification. Therefore, they couldn't give her a secure driver's license. And I'm like, okay, she's got a passport that allows her to go into Mexico and Canada and come back to the United States, but you won't give her a secure driver's license for
yeah.
the state of Indiana. What? And, you know, because they're like, well, you might need this to get on a plane. It's like she's got a passport card that was verified by the federal government. It's, you know, it's kind of crazy. But same thing with my son, because he's got a passport card also, but, you know, that's not good
yeah.
enough. Still got to have those five IDs. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, I've been verified by the federal government, but I'm not verified in the state of Indiana. Okay.
See,
you know,
here we have like a column A, a column B, and a column C. Like, if you don't have a birth certificate, then you at least should have like documentation that you're a naturalized citizen. If you don't have that, you should have your green card or something, you know. It just
yeah.
basically goes
yeah.
on.
Oh,
if
documentation.
You don't have.
You know, because
yeah.
even if you lose your birth certificate, you can order a new one, you know, online, even, because I had to do that for my daughter because we misplaced her first one.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I have a good friend here in Iowa. Her name's Gabriella, and she is so, I mean, she's older than I am. She's been here for 20 years legally. She's been naturalized since 94.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just, she was here for 2 years before that on a visa. And she, you know, she said the day that she became an American citizen, she put her old life behind her.
Uh-huh.
She wanted, and she's directly from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere down by Mexico City. I can't remember what the name of the, it's a village or, you know, not a big place. But she said that she put it all behind her. She started anew. She has, you know, she brought with her three children. They all got documented at the same time. And they now have, one of the things she taught them growing up is not to speak Spanish outside their home. living in America. I was like, wow. That, you know, I was amazed that some people from who joined American citizenship went that far as to say, you know, the children, I mean, I've talked to her oldest, Isabel, who she says, you know, we got our mouths slapped if we said anything Spanish outside of the house. You know, her mom was very strict about it. And I was like, wow, that's just admirable. It's admirable that there's people out there who will go that distance for...
Well, and see, those people, you know, really want to be here as Americans. You know, they're not coming here to make us change.
And
to
she's one of the top people who say don't give amnesty. When it comes down to us talking on Sundays after church, she's one of the biggest voices out there that says absolutely no amnesty. That is ridiculous. I had to fight and claw my way in here. They can fight and claw their way in by doing it legitimately too.
Right, right. And
she was no stranger of getting in their faces and saying, "Hey, what's going on?"
Yes, and you got to admire that. And you wish it was more like that. I was actually on the phone today, just with City Utilities, and you know, the idea that you got to press one for English, like, you know. Yeah, it's on all the phones, but that's crazy. Push one for English.
Well, see,
okay.
You know what's
I'm
so
an American.
Funny here?
I speak English. Okay.
I'm actually happy that here on our bill, when we get our paper bill, it has two different phone numbers. One is a Spanish phone number. One is an English phone number. You still get the automated system, but I don't have to mark anything for English.
Yeah, it's like that was the first question. Push one for English. It's like you're speaking English to me already.
Exactly.
Hello.
Para español, marque el número dos.
Dos. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's just something really, really not quite right with that. But, and you know, where's
I still have to do that for my mortgage company, but our electric company, they've actually, I want to say they've evolved.
Yeah.
Not to steal that term from Chris Matthews or anything, but. They have evolved in the whole idea, hey, let's just have two separate phone numbers.
Yeah. I'm just kind of reading this about these helicopters.
Yeah. It's amazing, the whole Syria-ish situation. And do you hear about the KKK that wants to adopt a highway?
Yeah. Well, it's racist. Well, you know, you got to let them do it or you're a racist. Right?
Let
the Black Panthers run around and make threats and do whatever they want to. It's like, so what?
And you've got people like the Westboro Baptist Church out there who just won a big case on First Amendment rights. So, I mean, it comes down to the First Amendment altogether. The only problem is, you know, people are saying, they say they want to go out there and literally clean up a portion of the highway. And they said, well, it's not like we're going to be wearing our outfits when we do it. And people are saying, you want to put that in writing, you know, basically.
Right.
Because that would be a total atrocity if we did. Someone was driving down the highway and saw Ku Klux Klan in the, you know, outfits on the side of the road.
Well, you know what? You can't have it both ways. You either got to rein in all the racist organizations, like the New Black Panther Party, which is a racist organization, or none. You know, you can't be pandering to one and, you know, attacking the other.
You bring up the Black Panthers, the New Black Panther Party, and people will always say, oh, well, there's only like 12 or 13 members.
No.
It doesn't matter to me how many members, it's their message that
matters.
There's
more than that. There's more than that in that organization.
Yeah. I know
they're
there is.
They're pulling themselves if they think that's true, you know. And, you know, to me, it's either equal. Equal means you're all treated the same. There is no special treatment for anybody. And you know very well if... somebody had made those kind of threats that they made against George Zimmerman, you know, against the black community or against the Arab community, that there would be investigations
upheaval.
And there would be fallout from that. And instead, there's nothing, against Zimmerman when they're in the death threats. And even Governor Walker, after he got reelected, there were people on Twitter making death threats to him. And this is appalling behavior. This is what's wrong with this country. That's hateful behavior. And what they want to call us haters, we don't hate people. You know, we don't like what's going on. We don't like the way they're doing our country. But I don't make death threats if I don't get my way. You know, that's just so wrong. But this is what they're kind of ingrained and indoctrinated with, you know, that these bad, bad people, and it's okay to act this way. It is not okay. It is never okay to threaten to kill somebody. That's not acceptable behavior for anybody of race, color, religion, anything, you know, to actually threaten to kill somebody or to want to put a bounty out on somebody's head. That is just, it's not okay. And yet, you know, I can understand somebody whose child has been killed, them wanting to actually retaliate. Yeah, I can understand that. But we're talking about over an election. People threatening a man's life over... because he got elected and because the people voted for him again, despite the 119% of the Democrats that voted in that one precinct. Wow, we had 119% voter turnout. Wow, okay. I don't know how that happens. But, you know, but to actually just threaten the man's life and get on Twitter and say hateful things about him and his family.
Oh my gosh, did you hear some of those threats? I mean,
yeah,
there were people saying, hey, who's going to do this guy?
Yeah, I'm going to hire somebody tomorrow to shoot him and just all this other stuff. And it's like, that is not, you know, if you say those things, you don't command any respect from anybody because that's so disrespectful. And
you're
that kind of
deserving of respect.
Right, exactly, exactly. And there used to be a time in this country when you wanted to be respected.
And, you know, the funny thing that I heard about today, too, is Scott Walker is planning on having this beer summit at the governor's mansion. It's a beer and brat summit, actually. He invited everybody to just come and join him. And, of course, the Democrats have said they'll pass. Some of them have said they'll probably show up, but the majority of Democrats have said they'll pass.
Why?
They're not going to go.
Right.
Who knows?
You know, here's the thing. Why? Because that's not creating healthy dialogue. You know what I'm saying? To make that kind of degree of separation. You know, you and I don't do it in our everyday lives. I don't know. Well, I do know one woman who is a Democrat at work, and I used to, there was a doctor. But, you know, it's like, I don't know what everybody's party affiliation is that I hang out with, you know, but yet we can talk and we can be friendly. And just because our politics don't match doesn't mean we don't act in a friendly manner and treat each other respectfully.
Exactly.
And yet we didn't see this at all in Wisconsin. You know, what we saw was the Democrats acting like children. We saw people out there using the F word in front of children and, trying to intimidate people with violence.
That reminds me, did you hear about Middleborough, Massachusetts?
No, what was going on
and
in Middleborough?
How they're planning on putting an initiative on their ballot that $20 fines are going to be applied to people cussing in public.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, in Massachusetts?
Yep.
Wow. Interesting.
Now, that in and of itself does infringe on First Amendment rights.
It does. But it used to be a time when you didn't have to men especially.
That people respected others.
Yes, and they wouldn't use that kind of language in front of other people. But now,
they put
it in the media, they put it in movies, they put it on TV, like that's the way you're supposed to talk. And yet, back in the day, a man was very careful not to cuss in front of a woman, even because it was disrespectful. And you
yeah,
know,
even in my son's video games that are, you know, for teenage audiences and stuff.
Yeah, they use
they have the F word in there, but it's F bleep bleep bleep.
You know?
And it's like, just because you've got it bleeped out, we don't know what it says.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right. And it's like, yeah. But, yeah, you're right. That doesn't infringe too much on your freedom of speech. What we need to be doing is trying to teach people more respect, you know. And because my husband and I were actually talking about texting and driving or being on phones and driving today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, they ought to allow it all together. And I said, but that truly infringes on your rights. I said, now, if they kill somebody while they're doing it, yes, go after and prosecute them. But, you know, the government needs to get out of our lives and quit telling us what we can and cannot do.
Well, see, that's kind of like, and that's what I was thinking today is, you know, I have a Bluetooth thing for a device for my phone in my car, and it's always attached to my ear so I can answer it, you know, just by touching my ear and turning it on. But, and that's kind of required by law. But,
right.
It wasn't working, so I grabbed my phone when it was ringing, and I brought it up, and I was, like, in the middle lane, and I had cars on both sides, and I'm like, okay, well, keep your eyes on the road, and, you know, I just answered it. I ended the call, not, you know, I can't talk right now, and I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I don't have a cop on one of the sides, you know, because
right.
I just wanted, I was expecting that call, and I knew that I'd have to tell them to call me back later when I wasn't driving, but still, it was like kind of like a panic time for me, but I didn't panic. I kept my wits about me and said, I have to keep my eyes on the road. You know, I've got my children in the car. This isn't that important that I'm going to kill them over. So, you know, it's just going to be a short call, and I had my eyes on the road, and people can actually do it responsibly.
Yeah.
If it's something like that. But texting, you know, you got to look at what you're doing and backspace if you misspell. And come on, I don't see a use for texting at all.
Yeah.
Well, driving,
right.
I mean.
Right. Well, and the thing is, it's just one little text can actually, and they were showing, I was actually viewing a video on this, and where a friend had texted her, and she was just texting, you know, real quick, and she died. You know, because it just took that.
And now,
is
that the one where the woman's suing the girl who sent the text?
Oh, no. I was just watching a video that had multiple.
Oh.
It was just a whole thing on texting and driving where they had kids on there, and you know, they said we had just texted and this, and then their dad, and you know, there were several incidents where that happened. So, you know, it is deadly, but you know what? I tell my kids not, you know, don't do it. Turn your phone off. You don't be, you know, and again, we're back to responsibility and, you know, without the government getting involved and trying to force it. But here, I just pulled this up about Middleborough, Massachusetts. They actually okayed this at a town meeting. It must be a little town. 183 to 50 to approve the $20 fine. Says, I'm really happy about it. Mimi, somebody, a store owner and former town select woman, said after the vote, I'm sure there's going to be some fallout, but I think what we did was necessary. It's because
I just don't go, if ever I'm a tourist in Massachusetts, I'll stay away from the town.
Well, it's about the kids. They go and they'll sit on the bench and yell back and forth to each other with their foulest language. It's just so inappropriate.
Yeah. And not only that, you know, it's not that I would be swearing or anything like that. It's just that I still think it's infringing on people's rights.
It is.
I think that it's, you cannot, how many people when they stub their toe don't say S-H-I-T or, you know, it's just something, just because something hurts immediately or, you know, there's going to be a lot of fallout on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there is. And this was supposed to crack down on the profanity-laden language used by teens. But, you know, again, we're talking responsibility, parent responsibility, and, you know, it's like I don't encourage that with my kids. I try not to talk in such a manner, you know, Because there's no reason for it, really. There's none. You know, I used to say a person was
ignorant
if they had
to talk
that way.
I've gotten to the point of, you know, getting a little bit elevated in my language with my children at the time. You know, like when disciplining them or telling them to keep their voices down. And, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's not something that's an everyday practice or anything, but there's been times that it just becomes so frustrating that you're trying to think and you got all kinds of noise going around. I get to the point of shut the F up. I've said that a couple times to them, I know. And it's like, I've told you, you know, I told you twice. This is the third time, you know, third time's when mom goes ballistic.
Yeah. And I guess because when I was growing up, I was, my parents didn't
talk
that way.
But see, that's almost like a slap in the butt to them.
Yeah.
Because they know that mom doesn't do it so often. That's like shock.
Right.
It's shock therapy to their brain. Like, oh, no, mom's swearing. That's a bad thing.
But again, it can be a learned behavior, too, because when I was growing up, you know, we didn't talk that way. My parents didn't talk that way, and we were taught not to talk
that way.
Oh,
my mom definitely.
You know, so,
my gosh. You know, my grandmother had a potty mouth.
Yeah, and see, my family didn't. It was totally the opposite when I was growing up. I never heard those words. You know, I wasn't allowed to go to PG movies when I was growing up. So,
I think maybe
you know,
we got Tanny on the line. Let's see who we've got here.
Oh, okay.
I can't answer it.
Oh, let me see. Hi, who do we have at 502?
Danny Shales.
Hi, Danny. How are you tonight?
So. All right. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. Just chit-chatting here about all the various things going on in the news today. What you doing?
Hey, you guys talk for a minute. I got to run my coffee grinder. So I'm going to mute you.
Okay. What are you doing? Just tuning in, or are you...
Yeah, I just called in. I don't know, my computer don't want to load Blog Talk for some reason.
You know what? We're having trouble loading chat tonight, too. I don't know what's going on with that. It's like, okay, I don't know what's going on. It's like, this is kind of weird. So, we were just talking about in Massachusetts, this little town, got a $20 fine going for using bad language in public.
Get profanity.
Yeah.
I kind of think it's a good thing because if you mash your finger and you say it, that's one thing.
Yeah, but if you're using it every other word, it's a little bit disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, when you're having to listen to that. And it could be bad for business, too, because apparently these kids are doing this in the downtown area in this little town. I don't know. Well, I'm sure that it's not going to stand. I'm sure somebody's going to sue over that.
I walk up to the customer and go, can I F and help you?
Yeah. Hello. I know. My husband and I, we didn't hear any of that today, but we're in these stores shopping, and there's people just sitting around. Nobody, and obviously we're looking at vanities and stuff for the bathroom, and we had questions, but nobody bothered. And when we asked the guy, he goes, well, I'd have to look it up on the computer. It's like, well, gee, isn't that your job? It's like, oh, my gosh, whatever happened to customer service? It's like, I don't think there is any. It's just like unbelievable. I don't know.
It's at the smaller places.
What's that? The customer service, you mean?
Good customer service.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at a swimming pool, which is an above ground, you know, high price item, not the kind that Walmart, not just a cheap one. And yet, you know, you walk in there and you stand around for 5 minutes before somebody asks if they can help you. It's like, really, people? I don't see these flying off your shelves, you know. You sure you don't want to come and talk to us about this? It was just kind of amazing today. It's like, okay. All right. Well, you know. But
Have you got any primary results yet tonight?
I haven't actually looked. What primaries we got going on tonight?
Let's see. Virginia, George Allen won. Maine, North Dakota, Nevada, South Carolina.
Well, let me take a peek here because we haven't paid too much attention since. Oops, that's not where I wanted to go. Since, you know, all the excitement went out of the Republican nomination race, you know, and, oh, man.
So, well, I started working real hard for conservative senators that were running in the primary.
Yeah, and we actually, in Indiana, we did get our conservative nominated here. That's what I went right into after Rick dropped out because we had a very conservative running here in Indiana against Lugar, who'd been there for way too long.
Forgot where he had been in D.C. so long, he forgot where he was supposed to live.
I know. Yeah, I know. And our attorney general at some point okayed it, that it was okay for him not to live here. And it's like, what? They weren't really telling us that before. But, you know, before, nobody would really run against him either. They didn't. In the primaries, there was never anybody to run against him. So, you know, that's why he had so many years. And this was the first time somebody was actually asked to run against him by some people in the Republican Party. So,
you had Joni DeMint, yeah, behind Richard Murdoch.
Yeah. So, he's the one, he said, just give me, you know, 3 or 4 more conservative senators. And so we gave him one, hopefully. I think he'll be the Democrat in the fall. Because this guy's like a big Obama fan, and I don't think that's going to go over well here in Indiana this time around. So, you know, I think that I'm not finding...
Maybe in a couple of counties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can guarantee you the one up by Illinois, probably. Because Gary, Indiana's right up there. Of course, that's where a lot of the cheating went on last time, too. So it's like, okay, whatever. We'll just have to see how that plays out. Hopefully, well, you know they're planning to do it, but hopefully the real voters will get out there like they did in Wisconsin and actually make a difference as far as the overall outcome. So, because I think there's only so many votes you can get by cheating unless you're actually...
one county in Wisconsin had a 119% turnout.
Yes, I know. We were talking about that. It's like, I know. It's like, what? How does that happen? You know? And where are the people questioning this? The Department of Justice was there to make sure nobody was actually cheating, right? It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, I'm not finding any races here. Where are they? I don't know if we have any thing coming in. Because, let me see. Maybe I go over here. That's why I kind of distracted a little bit here, folks. Just kind of looking at, oh, here we go. Maybe right here. Might help if I go.
Okay, guys, I'm back.
Okay, let me see. We got going on. Well, actually, I only have Utah has a June 26th primary and is showing that everybody else voted.
Yeah.
So whatever they're doing
tonight. June 26th
tonight,
is the last one.
And that's Utah. Oh, gee, I wonder where I wonder who that would have gone for, even if everybody else was in the race. Let's have a question about that one. No, but, yeah, I don't see anything else going on, Danny, unless it's maybe Senate races.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, I do want to say something to both of you.
Uh-huh.
Every night, and it's especially every Saturday, on ownthenarrative.com/live, you guys are welcome. And, in fact, I'm begging you to join in on Own the Narrative Match Game. Because we play, do you remember the old Gene Rayburn match game?
Oh.
You know, where...
I remember it going on, but I don't remember exactly how it went.
Nipsey Russell was in it. He was one of their famous panelists. But it's like, if let me give you an example of a question. Is Solyndra was such a good idea when their second plant opens, they'll have blank or robots that blank. That's just something I'm getting off the top of my head. But then everybody has to come up with a fill the blank type thing. You got to match what the contestant says.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do. Yes, okay. Yes, now I'm there. Like,
and then
have
it
them,
used
like,
to be
six
like
people sitting
Obama
there
is they... so dumb, and everybody would say, "How dumb is he?" You know.
Right. He's so dumb that he blanked. You know, and then
yeah.
Yes, and then they would have to, and you'd have yes, I remember that now. Actually, I've seen the reruns. So it's just, it took me a while. I was like, I know I've seen that show.
Well,
they
we
play
played
that.
We play political match game
okay.
all the time, and it is a lot of fun. I'm usually a contestant, but I don't want to be the only one that says me, I'll go. So
and
I need other people to go there and play, too. It's on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, I think.
I might be able to maybe slide in. We've been just so busy with the summertime has hit, and so it's like we're out, and it doesn't get dark till 9:30 or 10 o'clock, so you're out working in the yard and doing all this stuff, and so I'll
it's
have to
it's usually me and
there.
Becca. Me and Becca are the contestants, and nobody else ever wants to volunteer.
Oh, okay. What do you win then? You must win. What do we win?
Oh, what you win is they'll tweet out, the panelists have to retweet anything you tweet. Your very next tweet on Twitter gets retweeted by everybody on the panel.
Okay. Okay, that could be interesting, I suppose. So who's on the panel then?
Usually, well, now the last two games I've been on the panel. Becca was a contestant last time, and we had to wait around and wait for Teresa Brusky. Finally, mm-hmm. she became a panelist or a contestant.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's me. There's this guy named New Jersey Libertarian. Justin Kendall sometimes. Titan. There's this guy. I think his name is Bill LaRussa Jr. or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's called Titan on Own the Narrative. You got to join Own the Narrative to know these guys really well. Texas are busted. He's Gene Rayburn. And then we got Fishy, Something Fishy. Her name's Felicia Cravens on Twitter, or Something Fishy on Twitter, but that's if you've ever seen the name Felicia Cravens. I think she was on my show. Yeah, she was on my show last week, introducing her new show, Broadside, because they've got this panel of four broads, basically.
Oh, okay.
They do kind of like a Women Patriots type thing, but they just have four different people, one's
uh-huh.
from Canada even.
Okay.
I'm talking politics and all kinds of stuff. It's an interesting place to go. Just ownthenarrative.com and look around.
Yeah, I was looking around last week after we talked about it, and then, like I said, I've just been busy. I haven't been doing much. I get on my computer once or twice a day now.
Did you read my piece on how Reagan was my surrogate father?
No, I didn't see that. I don't need to do that.
Yeah. I did. I have a...
I saw that Becky was one of their, Becky Lower was one of their chief contributors, but no, I didn't actually get all through the site. So, but just speaking to our weather, it has been so dry here. This is Kendallville, which is like 30 minutes north of us. They put in an emergency burn ban on all open burning, including fireworks. That's how dry our grass here is in... the small section of Indiana where it hasn't really rained at all.
It stormed here for a few days last week, but it's been dry ever since.
We got drizzle. That's what we got from those storms.
Wow.
And then a really, really, really dry spring. So, which does not bode well for August, which has usually been dry the last few years because the grass is already dead. Mm-hmm. In fact, last year on Memorial Day, we had the kids over to play, and you would step in the backyard with your feet, and the mud would run over the top of your feet because it was that wet out.
Yeah.
And yet, by August, you know, some of our grass died in the front. Well, now the lawn is actually crispy in places.
No,
so
no.
My husband has started watering because it's like, I don't want to lose all the grass this year. But so every time
you think
there's going to be rain, we're like out there, oh, please rain. And then it goes like it goes like north and west of the city. You know, it's like, oh, great. That was, you know.
It's so sad in our backyard. In our backyard where we take the dogs out.
Mm-hmm.
Our grass grows for a few seconds and then it's gone. And we have to replant it again because the dogs just keep urinating there.
Lovely.
Like, stop it.
Here, go in this corner over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
Help the cantaloupe grow, not die.
Yeah.
But you just talked about Utah earlier, and Orrin Hatch is getting primaried out there.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Well,
he
was not going to have a primary opponent, but they voted, and the committee and everything said, yeah, we'll give him an opponent, but he still might win that primary.
Oh,
he's got their appeal in backing him.
Well, that ought to help.
I don't know why. I mean, Orrin Hatch has been from left to right and back again.
Well, to some extent, but he is also the first one to ever introduce the ballot budget amendment. And that's what I found out Sarah Palin liked the most about him. Even though he's been there 36 years, he does have a 97% conservative voting record. And he also introduced the balanced budget amendment back in the 90s.
Yeah.
He was the one who introduced it in the Senate. And that's where she's like, well, you know, let's get out the guys who aren't introducing stuff like that. You know, the guys who are voting against us. Like, she actually doesn't like Susan Collins. Because she voted, like, to end the Don't Ask, Don't Repel and stuff. She, those kind of votes are the ones that are controversial to her.
Yeah. And Olympia Snow's retiring in Maine, and they're having a Senate runoff up there for...
Yeah. She's got... They've got a moderate that's going to try running again, I guess.
And there's a conservative running up there. Got
yep.
D'Ambrosi.
But, I mean, it's a moderate Democrat and a real conservative, and they think the conservative, or not real conservative, but someone who's got Tea Party backing and stuff as a conservative. And according to what I've been told is in Maine, they're more moderate. And we'll see what happens there. I hope the conservative can get his butt in there, but... They just don't count on it. They think the moderate might win. I don't know.
Well, we're not going to make it happen overnight, you know. We've got to just keep plugging away, and we can't get discouraged, you know, even if we don't if we can just, you know, make inroads, you know, one election at a time and one year at a time. We're not going to be able to turn this all around in one election cycle.
And it'll be every
2 years
that you'll see big pushes by Tea Party people and stuff. Every 2 years when Congress is voting again.
Yeah. Well, and our Senate races are staggered. Like, we're only voting for one senator this time. And, you know, we voted for a senator 2 years ago. So even though...
Yeah, who are your senators? Which senator's up this year? It was
Lugar, so we're going to get Murdoch instead.
Yeah.
And Dan Coats actually won the senator race a couple of years back.
Yeah.
So he had served for us before in Congress. And
So did your governor. Your governor was a good... Oh, no, not your governor. I'm thinking of Ohio, Kasich.
Yeah. No, our governor actually served in some kind of financial position for Bush.
Yeah.
I don't remember, something of that sort. But, you know, there's no indication he's running for any other office.
No, he
office,
won't. He won't. So. His wife's life is too controversial.
Yeah. So yeah. Mitch Daniels. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as your governor. And then
Yeah, he's our governor, but he's done. So we have Mike Pence actually running. I think we lost Danny.
Oh, did we lose him?
Yeah, he just dropped, so he went somewhere. Maybe he'll come back here in a minute. But
I couldn't understand what he was saying at the last minute.
Something about our governor, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe who was running, I don't know. But we have Pence running on the Republican side, so we'll have to see. Could be interesting with the right to work having passed, you know. We'll see what kind of backlash they get from that, but... I don't know if it'll be a lot or none, you know, because with the Governor Walker election kind of gives me some hope. So,
oh, Danny,
are you back?
Yeah,
hello?
Crazy
okay.
Cell phones.
Oh yeah, don't we love them?
Yeah, yeah,
you
cell phones.
You think that's bad? They put in a whole. They just opened up a new hospital that I round at. They moved it from down toward the inner city more to the outer. Suburbs on the highway, and they put in these computer phones. Okay, it's supposed to be these great phone system. You know, it's all computer. And you'll be talking to somebody, and the dumb phone will just go dead.
Oh no!
It's like, and they just opened this place in April. I don't know. It's like, great. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good
you know, I tried Skyping in. I tried Skyping in tonight, and it was telling me to buy credits, and I'm like, what?
Huh. I don't know. I Skyped
in. That's what took me so long. That's why I didn't get in until the last few minutes. It took me like 15 minutes to try getting Skype to work.
Ah. Well, Danny said he was having trouble. Anyway, Danny, what were you saying before you got cut off? Something about our governor?
Yeah, Mike Pence was going to run for governor up there, right?
Yeah, he is. Uh-huh. On the Republican side, yeah.
You have term limits on your governors, don't you?
Yeah. You don't?
Yeah.
I think we do. I think we have a 2-year limit.
A 2-term limit.
Yeah, 2-term limit, not 2-year. Okay, brain, wake up. So, yeah, we do have limits. So.
Yeah, and some states even have 6-year terms.
Ah. Well, you know, it's up to the individual state. So, at least here we get a change if
yeah,
we don't.
Yeah, I'm all for state rights.
Yeah. You know, they have more right than the federal government, and although you wouldn't know it today, but hopefully in a few more years we'll know it.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you know, hopefully, well, I don't know when the Arizona case is going to hit the Supreme Court, but I can't imagine they wouldn't hear it. I mean, that's classic. That is a classic lawsuit for the Supreme Court. Probably should have gone right to the Supreme Court. Should never even gone through the lower courts because that's a state versus the government issue.
Oh, yeah. See, that's one thing that I don't get at all is that even in the Constitution, it says that the Supreme Court would preside over anything that involves a state and the federal government.
Yeah. So, yeah,
when
why
the state is a party to any lawsuit, if you were suing the state, you go to the Supreme Court. You cannot do it in a state court because that's a bias.
Yeah, and yet that I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Since when did they pay any attention to the Constitution?
Yeah.
I know. I don't
exactly.
get that. I just don't because, you know, it's directly right out of the Constitution that when a state is a party to any lawsuit, it doesn't go to the lower courts. It goes to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and it should. But it'll get there slowly, eventually, maybe. And they better hear it. I mean, if they don't, then you'll know very
yeah,
well they're not doing the
technically that's true. Because, you know what? My husband just said their suit against Arizona is unconstitutional simply on those grounds because they filed it in a court lower than the Supreme Court.
Right. So it'll be interesting when it gets up there to see what is said about that. So, but just the fact that you have to go through that to protect yourself. When you're given that right in the Constitution to protect yourself. And it says against invasion. The states have the right to protect themselves against invasion. And, you know, what else is, I mean, that's what they're trying to do in Arizona. They're trying to protect themselves because there's people being shot and killed down there on the border. And who was that Democrat that said if they shared a border with Texas or with Mexico, they could understand, you know. Well, yeah, they do. Quite a large one, actually. It's like,
yeah.
It's just amazing to me. It's like, okay, yeah. People. Go ahead, Danny.
Another thing that's funny is, like, they talk about profiling.
Uh-huh.
And, well, see, I've been down there. And all of that down through there once upon a time was Mexico.
Yeah.
And guess what lived there?
Yeah.
And they're still there.
Yeah.
I mean, the Border Patrol agents are Hispanic.
Yeah, I know. The people who instituted the law, the main promoter of that, I think he was from Puerto Rico. You know, it's like, come on. You know, this.
Well, Danny, did you hear what I was saying? Did you hear what I was saying earlier about the undocumented and unafraid?
Uh-uh.
Right now, how they're on a hunger strike. They're demanding that Obama uses executive order to make them citizens. Students that just graduated and want to go on to college and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they graduated with tax dollars paying that way.
Yeah, and they actually really studied the Constitution, didn't they?
Because
that's not constitutional. President doesn't have that kind of power.
Oh, he thinks he does.
Well, I know he thinks he does, and they're letting him get away with it, so I don't know, but, you know.
Exactly.
I think that he won't, you know why he won't, well, I know very well why he won't do that, and it's because the backlash would be his doom, and he knows it, and it's all about election for him, so he won't.
And there are a lot of independents that would totally vote against him just because of it.
Yeah. Well, it wakes people up, I think. Go ahead, Danny.
Obama girl is not supporting him.
Yeah, I know. I saw her back on
Oh, Huckabee. I know. I heard that on, I think Becca was the one who brought that up on OTN the other day.
Yeah.
On the narrative.
Even Spike Lee, I was reading an article where he said it wouldn't be racist if you didn't vote for Obama this time because the economy is so bad. You know it's bad when Spike Lee is saying it's not racist if you don't vote for Obama.
we were having fun last night on Twitter. They had this thing about funnier than Bill Maher, and one of the top responses was always that Obama thinks our economy is doing just fine, or that the private sector is fine. That was like the top thing for funnier than Bill Maher. My own response, I put in that he probably thinks this post or this tweet is about him. That's funnier than Bill Maher.
Oh, that's funny.
He's so vain.
Yeah, that's interesting. See, because when John McCain tried to say in 2008 that fundamentally the United States was strong, you know, our economy fundamentally, and it was fundamentally at that time because we didn't have all these extra regulations and things that have been implemented in the last 4 years, but 3 years, but they ridiculed him like crazy over that, and then Obama comes out and tries to say the same thing when it's not fine. The private sector isn't fine. You know, businesses are closing down. I was driving around today, and it was just amazing to me all the places that were up for lease. You know, it's just like, this is not fine. You know, there's look at all these stores that are just closed, you know.
There's a salon right down the street. She just recently closed up. She was going to get a $6,000 fee from the government a month for the dyes that go down her drain.
Yeah.
That just started, January this year.
You either got to pass it
$6,000 a month.
Yeah, and how do you pay for that? you know, how do you answer
well,
that?
Well, by firing someone.
Yeah. Which hurts the economy. Yeah. Go ahead, Danny.
Or you jack up your prices and then nobody can get their hair cut.
Right.
And you go out of business.
You go out of business.
Yeah.
So. But that's good business policy, according to the administration. So, and that's...
Oh, but they have to worry about our water so much. You know, it's not filtered 3,000 times for nothing. It's got to go through 5,000 filters.
Yeah, okay. Another
that's just how they have voted.
Overreach, you know, by using the EPA to destroy the economy so that they can implement their program.
And then they add their stupid Kool-Aid to it.
Their stupid Kool-Aid. Yeah, okay. But, yeah, you know, that's what they have to do. It's an Alinsky tactic. You gotta make it really, really so bad that people want the change. But the only problem is he forgot that he's the one that's making it really, really bad. So people do want change. I just don't think it's working in his favor in this instance because of things like the Internet and
Well, no, these are files from... You remember cap and trade so long ago, not so long ago?
Yeah.
EPA was going to regulate nearly everything under it.
Yeah.
And right now, that's what they're initiating. They're doing, the EPA is doing it without any congressional oversight or anything on it. They're just sending out fines to everybody for anything. And sometimes nothing at all, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
we need to get rid of the EPA or rein it in, something. I mean, it's good to have some regulation, but because we don't want to be a China.
Yeah.
But
I don't disagree with that. I don't say that, you know, we don't need someone to go test our lakes to make sure that there's not, you know, an abundance of chemicals in them and stuff.
Right.
But we do not need someone to sit here and, like, the people that were in Idaho trying to build land, declaring it was a wetland when it was dry as a bone.
Right. That's,
you know?
That's intrusive and that's overstepping. But yes, you know, doing water samples and maintaining safety is okay, but just try to find businesses because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, is crazy. That's just, you know, what was that fine? Well, actually, that fine was meant to drive her out of business, most likely, because that's what it did.
Right.
Because what would it actually help anything?
We're going to end up getting fines for breathing because CO2 levels are high.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, think about it. What do we breathe out?
And then we're going to go after the Amish because of their livestock?
Oh, my gosh. They already have.
Really?
They've gone after the Amish in Missouri, it was.
Really?
Or Oklahoma, one of the two, for selling unpasteurized milk.
Oh, yeah, for that.
At an Amish market.
I mean, horses put out more emissions than cars do. That's what I was talking about. Because we have a pretty large Amish population just outside of our city. So they actually, you know, they drive them down.
Our biggest population of Amish I ever saw was in Wisconsin. They've got like 6 or 7 really big settlements.
Okay. Yeah, we're real close to a little town called Grable, and actually our city, you know, within 15 minutes of the country all around. So we have quite a few Amish establishments, you know, and Amish.
You ever
people.
Buy stuff from them?
Actually, there is a farm out called Schmucker's, and we have bought things there before. Yeah, so but. Yeah, but no, you'll see their little buggies parked over at the Menards or the Myers.
Whenever I go visit my mom, she'll say, call me an hour before you're going to be here so I can go get some Amish donuts.
Oh.
Because she loves their Amish donuts.
Oh, and she has to wait for you to come to or is that just,
I have to let her know so she'll have them nice and fresh and ready for me when I get there.
Oh, okay, there
just
you
because
go.
When I left. When I left Wisconsin, that was like one of the last things we ever did was go get Amish donuts together.
Oh, okay.
So whenever I go visit, she's made a tradition of getting Amish donuts for me.
Well, that's nice, too. Kind of, yeah, a little tradition to have when you go home. So.
Yeah.
That's nice. So.
It is. But,
so, anyway.
Well, I got to get off here. I just wanted to call in and give you all a little support.
Well, thank you, Danny, for calling
in. Thank you, Danny. And please join on the narrative.
Always glad to hear from you. Looks like we got to try to play this match game on Saturday.
Yes. I'm begging. Right. Match game, Saturday night.
Okay.
That's the oldest one's graduation party. So.
Oh, great.
Oh, well.
Have fun. Well, congratulations.
So.
Congratulations. To next Saturday, it's a date. Putting you in a headlock.
They're going to... The boys has got a band. They're going to be in the Texaco Talent Contest.
Oh, cool.
And the winner gets $100,000.
Oh, my. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Now, was your son the one that you were passing the videos around when we were on Hermit Cave?
That was awesome.
Very, very good. So, well, good luck with that. That'd be a great way to pay for schooling or whatever they were planning to do, so... launching the band.
Absolutely.
If this takes off, I think they're going to not worry about college.
Well, that's true. You can make a lot more money if you get a contract, a recording contract or something. So
there you go.
Well, good luck with that.
And then Dad can write a book, and then Danny shows us.
And then Grandpa,
yeah,
too. Yeah.
How to raise a band.
There you go. Yes, how did you do that, Danny?
I can have you as a special guest on Nobomination as an author and father of a band star, and then I'll invite your kids, too.
Okay.
Well, have fun, Danny.
All right.
Take care.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That sounds fun.
Danny's a trip.
Yes. Yep. I tell you, I've met some really, really good people through all this campaigning stuff. So it's all good. So
we met a lot of people, a lot of great people through Team Kane when we were on there.
I know. That was really awesome because of the organization that was, I don't even know who was really responsible for that, but it was so well organized and just really kind of...
it, pushed us together.
If they could have copied that in Santorum's...
Yeah.
I think that might have made a difference, for him, because it was just really such a great place to... go, and the ideas that were flowing were just tremendous. When you give people free rein to think and to use their skills, it's just amazing.
What we can do. The way I see it is we all turned into our own version of Andrew Breitbart.
Yeah.
We finally just stood up and said, we're not taking it anymore. This is ridiculous. You're not going to lie to us anymore, and we're going to point at you and snicker when we say stop lying.
Right.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I think I'm seeing some positive reaction, to that. Because just like with this war on women, it didn't work because we stood up and said, no, this is not the way it is. If they hit us, we hit them back. And I think that's more effective than if we just let them own the narrative. There's a problem with the show, and they're so used to having their way for so many years that they're kind of in shock when people strike back, and I don't think they know what to do or what to say, just like with the Rush Limbaugh thing where they tried to get him off the air and get his sponsors and that kind of thing. It backfired on them, and they're not used to that because for so many years they've gotten away with these tactics, these Zelensky tactics of, being, telling these half-truths and non-truths to make people think a certain way, and it's not working anymore. And I attribute that, a lot of that is to the internet and especially for me, I've said this before, in 2008, I felt so alone. Isn't there anybody out there that thinks like I do that this is a problem, And this has just enabled so many of us to come together and do shows like this blogs and whatever, so it's pretty cool stuff. So,
yeah. And my, on the narrative, if you ever look me up, you can kind of see, if you go to own the narrative.
Do I have to create an account to look you up?
No.
Okay.
You'll see, if you go to the live, if you go to ownthenarrative.com/live,
okay.
Or it's ownthenarrative.com/live.
Uh-huh.
They'll have a list at the bottom of the people who write blogs and stuff.
Okay.
And I'm like over in the middle column, and it says that I've got 17 posts there.
Okay.
And
you're under Billy or Daniel, or you're under Billy?
Just Billy.
Okay.
Just Billy. And it's just a picture of me. And there's this one, though, I thought of you when I was writing it, too, because we always talk about Reagan on our show. And I was thinking, it was just something that, for some reason, it came to me. I'm like, you know, I grew up in a household with just my mom.
Uh-huh.
And my stepdad was not someone I looked to as a father. My father was not someone I looked to as a father. I mean, he abandoned us when I was six.
Right.
But one thing I can say is, when it came to really seeking a disciplinarian, other than my mother, I sought Reagan.
Uh-huh.
And Reagan
yeah.
was, you know, I'd hear him on the TV when my mom was listening to his addresses and stuff, and it's like when he talks about the six-year-old girl, and I was 6 years old when he was saying it, you know, and he's like talking about just, you know, how Karl Marx would be proud of when Karl Marx was right when the Soviet Union fell, but he was right in the opposite direction. You know, he was right in saying that it would be, I can't remember the thing, but there's quotes about it in there. But
uh-huh.
I heard that when I was a teenager and stuff. So it's like those kind of things. I don't know, it just they just stuck with me all my life.
Uh-huh.
And he always made me realize life wasn't going to be an easy chore, you know, easy just skating right through it. It was
right.
going to be a challenge.
Right, and so many people think, you know, it should be easy. And I think they think that's about relationships, too. I think that's why you see the rise and, you know, these relationships don't last. It's not easy. Life is not easy. Relationships are not easy. Work is not easy. You know, it's never going to be a perfect world where everything is just my way.
Hell,
you know,
every time
happy.
I hear Obama say fair, I say life isn't fair.
No.
You know?
Yeah, that's
nobody
not fair.
Said it should be.
Yeah, that's the kids. Life's not fair. No, it isn't. So get over it. You know? It's like, yeah. Or they'll say, that's not fair. And I'll say, well, life's not fair. You know, get over it. It's and yet, yeah. And yet he's out there trying to say fair, 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 fair. No, sorry.
Right.
It's not. And it never will be. And that's not the right way, you know.
As long as you realize you are human
mm-hmm.
and you are not a god.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you realize that you yourself are not even in control of your own destiny.
Uh-huh.
That's when you realize life just won't be fair for you, too. Because only, you know, the thing, I don't want to get into too much of a religious discussion, but it comes down to wanting to always do right and knowing that you could possibly choose the wrong path
right.
without God's guidance behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where infallibility, we surrender to it. You know, we surrender to being infallible, to being fallible.
Yeah, because
you know?
We're human. You're human.
Right.
To be human is
to
fail. I mean, there's not ever going to be a time where you haven't not succeeded at something or where you haven't done something you know you shouldn't have done or, you know, because that's being human. If you don't have...
But we can always strive to be infallible is what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying
right.
we can always...
But the key word is
having
strive.
God on our shoulders.
Yeah.
Having God
word.
With us in our decisions,
mm-hmm.
asking for his assistance in
right.
making those decisions, we
right.
realize that we can do things easier.
Right.
We can have that infallible... type of, you know, push through life that,
right.
We can know, but we have to accept that God is behind everything. God is, you know, the one who's doing this.
Yeah, ultimately he's in charge, but the key word there is strive, because it's not easy. And
oh,
he never promised it would be easy.
And it
requires constant vigilance, you know, and being aware. And,
right.
So, you know, it's not easy, and nothing in life is, even in your everyday life, you know.
With the whole philosophy that the Democrats are pushing, that we're going to make it easy for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No, I don't think the Democrats are going to make things easier for us. Having God on our shoulders and with us at all times and mm-hmm. pushing us is going to make it easier for us. Nothing else.
Right. And they can't, because what we're going to end up with is, like we said earlier, Greece and Spain and Europe and all these countries. You cannot sustain and just give handouts to people and make it work. It doesn't work that way. It won't work that way. It's a failure. It's failing overseas, and it will fail here. You know, they need to get out. The government needs to get out. The government cannot provide. We need to condense our government to be a streamlined, efficient entity that protects us and our foreign interests. And, you know, just let us be. You know, let us be. The free country that our founding fathers.
And you know what really gets me is when these people come out with these new excuses, and that's all they are—they're excuses in saying, "Oh well, you know, someone paved that road for you to put your business there." And you know what? Is it more productive now that there's a business there, or was it just productive being a road?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So someone paved the road, but guess what? Now the business makes people drive on it.
Yeah. Well, and it's fine. Let the states pave the road.
But that's why they call for new taxes and higher taxes.
But I don't need the federal government to pave my road. I need my state to pave my road.
Right.
And in fact, the states do actually do a lot of that, because if you drive just up into Michigan, the roads kind of get worse when you go from Indiana into Michigan. You can notice the big thumping on the roads once you hit Michigan. You know you're in Michigan, but because the states are, you know, working the highways and that kind of thing, and that's perfectly fine for a state to do that. But federal government doesn't need to be involved in taking money to one central place and then doling it out to the 50 states. No, let each state take care of themselves and get the money out of Washington. That's the key goal. So. And that's what hopefully we're going to make happen in the years to come. But and that won't be easy. But life's not easy. Life's not fair. And we still go on. And you can still enjoy it, you know. They do say people with a Christian faith or with a faith actually live better lives. They're happier than those who don't.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see why.
I was recently looking at, you know, what the Protestant Reformation, and I was finding out just how a lot of that Protestant Reformation contributes to the philosophies that we have today, where, you know, just by saying Jesus loved everybody, so he loves gay people, Jesus loves everybody. So that had a lot to do with way back Martin Luther when he left the Catholic Church, because that's how he felt. It was basically, you know, polygamy was accepted by Martin Luther. And that kind of stuff, but
right.
he lied about it.
God never condoned any of that, so, you
right.
know.
And that's the kind of stuff I see in our government, you know, coming out and saying, oh, well, this is basically a reformation. We're going to reform everything. And had there never been a Protestant Reformation, we probably would see a lot less of that. But there was reason for it at the same time, because the Catholic Church was out of hands with their, you know, killings and stuff like that. And
right.
They had
become like a terrorist organization in and of themselves. So, but we would have been better without this progressive society idea that was instituted many years ago. So, but.
Right.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take us out with a song. I'm going to play The Little Man by Alan Jackson, because I really, truly, just driving around today, we were and seeing all these open storefronts.
You know, it's so funny. I was looking at our list, and I was thinking of Little Bitty at the same time you said Little Man.
Well, you know, Little Bitty's good, too, but we're going to go with Little Man, and thank you, everybody,
okay,
for tuning in. And Thursday at what time Eastern?
At 9 p.m.
Central?
Eastern time.
9 p.m. Eastern.
I go for 2 hours, 9 to 10. Or, I mean, 8 to 10 on Central, 9 to 11.
9 to 11. Okay, I'll try to get in at least for an hour. I work Fridays,
okay,
which is why I haven't been tuning in. But
that's fine.
Got to get my beauty sleep on Friday or Thursday nights. But okay.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
Man.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all.
Okay.
I got my car one day. Started heading south. I didn't know where I was going. I just stopped and picked up an Atlas so I wouldn't get lost. But I didn't go back to my hometown, but I went in that direction and through a lot of old areas that I'd traveled through, I guess in search of something, in search of a simpler time in my life or whatever. But I went through a lot of small towns that reminded me of where I was raised and places I'd come from. And it was sad because I realized how much they had changed since I'd been back in those areas. And a lot of places were sad because a lot of them seemed dried up. You know, it was like a lot of the small town businesses and the mom and pop stores and the independence of some of the people who had actually built those towns because of that. They were having trouble staying alive, staying in business because of all the big chains coming in, everything that takes over these days. And I think it's a very colorful and important part of American history, and I hate to see it going away, and I hope it doesn't. And I just wanted to write this song about it, and we made this video in an attempt to recapture some of those scenes and feelings that inspired the song about the little man.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the old Lee King's Apothecary. They were the little man, the little man. I go back now, the stores are empty, except an old Coke sign dated 1950. Poured it up like they never existed, or renovated and called historic distance. There goes the little man, there goes the little man. Down the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they seldom think about the little man. He pumped your gas and he cleaned your glass. One cold rainy night he fixed your flat. A new store came where you do it yourself. You buy a lotto ticket and food off the shelf. Forget the little man. Forget about that little man. He hung on there for a few more years. He couldn't sell Slurpees, he wouldn't sell beer. Now the bank rents a station to a man down the road, and they sell Velvet Elvis secondhand clothes. There goes the little man, there goes another little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they sell the thing about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man. Oh, the little man.
buy the whole world in just one trip. Save a penny cause it's jumbo size. They don't even realize they're killing the little man. All the little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets. The people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before. Wasn't long ago when I was a child, an old black man came, his mule and his plow. He broke the ground where we grew our garden, back before we'd all forgotten about the little man, the little man. Long live the little man. God bless the little man.
Well, thanks, Billy, for tuning in, and we will hopefully chat with you Thursday. I think she's gone. Okay.